Affairs Talk is powered by Xfinity.
Good to see you, everybody. I'm Jeff Joniak, along with my broadcast partner, Tom Thayer, from News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM, and our special guest on this week's edition of Bears Talk, former Bears linebacker, the Michigan State product, and a good friend of the family, so to speak, right? Jim Morrissey, kind enough to join us. Good to see you, Big
good
Jim.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Looking fit as ever. All these guys we bring in, all his old buddies, they're all fit and ready to go.
I saw every directional school from Michigan in a ball game. Aside from Michigan State, what's up with that?
We're taking a year off. Oh, okay. We're going to rest our players and get ready for next year.
What's that say about the state?
It's good football. It was very good football. I mean, Michigan State just had a bad year, a down year.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're allowed.
We were in some games. We played Ohio State tough. We played Michigan tough. But we lost some games that we probably should have won. But sometimes that's how
it is. Your coach is kind of Teflon because he is not receiving any criticism. But I believe he's a really good head football coach.
There's no question. Yeah. Mark D'Antonio is a great teacher of the game, and the players love him, the coaches love him.
And he can recruit.
He can recruit. Yeah. So
is it more challenging now with your old friend Jim Harbaugh, though? Is that going to be
part of it? There's no question about it.
Yeah, what's that doing in the state since you have ties there?
It's making the other coaches work very hard to keep up. They're having a good recruiting year. Ohio State's having a good recruiting year. You know, Notre Dame. So there's a lot of teams in that area trying to get the
Have you
the
been
talent.
Able to cross paths with Harbaugh since the Michigan State time, from him becoming a head coach?
We talked once or twice, but we really didn't talk about the game. So.
Well, let's focus on the Bears and another Big Ten product, at least for 1 year, Indiana running back Jordan Howard by way of UAB and the Bears' fifth-round pick, who I remind everybody had 12 total carries in the first 3 weeks of the season and now on the perch of breaking Matt Forte's 2008 rookie rushing record for a single season. He's already done that with 6 100-yard games. That's a Bears rookie record. And he continues to impress every day. And that's just him running the ball. There's more to him than that, which I love. Right. What do you think of what he's done?
I think it's amazing. As you mentioned, a fifth-round draft pick, what a great steal that was. But just how he runs the ball. I mean, he's always getting positive yards. And he does break off some long ones. So, I mean, it's a steal. Definitely a steal.
Well, you know, one of the biggest criticisms of Matt Forte all the way till the end of his career at the Chicago Bears is he can never make people miss in the open space. Jordan Howard can make people miss, and he can run over them.
Right.
And I think those are one of the unique qualities about his running style. But Jeff mentioned he's got so many other levels to his game that there's nothing that he's incapable of doing, catching the ball, blocking, and blitz pickup. You know, running at the goal line, and just it's been an amazing feat of opportunity that when he was given the chance to play,
correct,
he's capitalized on it and ran with it since.
And there's been a number of changes on the offensive line, yep, as the year has gone through because
of
injuries
and stuff,
and quarterbacks, and he still continues to produce.
I think from my perspective calling the games, when his blitz pickups occur, they stick out. Like, I had not ordinarily called the blitz pickup of a running back, but this guy, it just shoots out at you. You see it, obviously.
Well, it's instrumental in the success of the play. I mean, whether it's a linebacker or an off-corner DB or safety, he goes and meets the blitz. So, Jim, you're a linebacker. Mm-hmm. You know what it is. When you're blitzing, you like those guys to give you a little separation and you get a chance to run through them. When you got a guy that runs upfield and is going to meet you head on,
right,
that's the most challenging part of it.
You can see he takes pride. Yep. He takes pride in the protection part of the
Got to work on the passing game. Got to work on his hands a little bit. I think that can come. I don't think that's an impossibility, obviously. He showed it in training camp. He did fine. I will say, though, when Matt Forte was younger, his one cut in the open field when he got to the second level was pretty special at times. But I think over the years, it became more of an issue. But he runs through people, Jordan Howard. He doesn't even have to run.
And that's the worst running back you can possibly have.
All right. I mean, is it cliche or is it fact? Since I didn't play the game, and don't take offense to this,
right,
but when you would hear about running, oh, they get stronger as the game goes on, they wear people down, no one wants to tackle them. Did you ever at any point in your career as a linebacker not want to tackle somebody at the fourth quarter of a cold game?
No,
tell me the truth.
No, not really. No, you were always up for the challenge. But there was different running backs that you knew would try and run around you, like a Barry Sanders. You know,
oh, that
he would try and run you. Right. But it also – that wasn't as bad as a running back that would try and either run around you or run you over. So that was where you really had to kind of slow down a little bit.
Who left train tracks on you? Anybody?
Keith Byers one time. I remember that one like it was yesterday. But there were some, you know, tough running backs.
There still are.
That's amazing how those plays throughout your career. You can always remember that one or two plays throughout your career
years.
That comes back and haunts you. I got beat on a three-step drop for a sack against San Francisco, and it gave me enough time to yell, "Jim, look out." And, you know, it's just one of those things that you should never get beat on a three-step drop for a sack, and I did, and it's still to this day.
McMahon or Harbaugh?
It was McMahon.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah. Very good. All right, there's a topic of motivation for the last game of the year, but for the Bears, it's been a question that has come up for several weeks. You know, what are you playing for? And I think John Fox has done a great job of setting the mindset in that locker room, and the players have responded in a positive way. They do fight to the finish. And whatever levels of preparation each individual must go through to prepare himself for the game, I think has been evident for the most part. And a lot of young players are learning this is how you have to do it on the National Football League, and that includes Sunday, Week 17, against the Vikings in their building.
Jim, have you ever gone into a game that you didn't feel like you better be motivated to play your best because you can just skate through a game? I think that's one of the things about it is I've never felt the luxury of going into the game going, I'm just going to get through this thing, get myself healthy, and get on to next year. You're motivated by fear of losing your job, and I think every one of these guys should step up to the plate with that same motivation. Because you can lose your job by a poor performance, lack of effort, lack of enthusiasm. And after the game, we heard the frustration in the voice of Jarrell Freeman saying that it is the obligation of these guys to make sure they're mentally prepared and they physically go out there and attack the game with the same enthusiasm.
I think the game that sticks out to me would be the 92 Steelers game, right?
Was yeah.
Singletary's last game. Right. We had no motivations. But we all went out there and played well and won the game, I think.
Right.
You're always going to try and do your best based on a number of things that you're still being evaluated. So you have to have a nice film for the next year. So it definitely is a motivation.
It could cost you money, and you can't protect yourself because that's the quickest way to get injured.
Correct.
Right? You don't want to – and I hate it when a guy blows out his ACL or pops his Achilles in week 17 of the season. It's going to affect his earning power and his availability for 2017.
But I guarantee
it's part of the deal.
The first time they play the Minnesota Vikings next year, they'll have this tape and part of their preparation. So if you want to go out there and blow three or four assignments – look bad just giving no physical approach to your assignment, then you'll see it again several times next year. So that's the worst thing you could do is go back knowing that you have a horrific play on film and you're going to go revisit that 8 or 10 or 15 times.
You must know this. Both of you realize this now, and it became crystal clear to me because it was told to me directly by General Manager Ryan Pace in an interview I did with him on our Bears radio broadcast. But they look at the final three games of the year. Now, not that the other 13 are irrelevant, but it is what you've done for me lately, and it's the final three games of the year that you're being scouted for 2017. Now, that can't possibly apply for your big-name players and your first-round picks, but it certainly matters to a big portion of the roster what the final three games are. So that includes the final game of the year. So you better strap it up and bring it on because somebody on the other side of the ball with that mindset going to bloody your nose if he doesn't.
But there's also a kid in college that wants your job.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you think that you have the luxury to go out there and just skate through your opportunity, man, there's a guy somewhere at University U just licking his chops waiting for his jersey and his chance.
All right. It'd be nice to end with a win because you always want that as your goal, obviously. So despite whatever conversation and pieces that are written about draft pick status and so forth. Right now the Bears are as high as 3, could be as low as 6 with a win over the Vikings. To me, it's irrelevant.
Yeah, but again, you know, it's about your last performance and you want to go out there and win. You want to beat a divisional opponent. You want to leave a good taste in your mouth and a bad taste in your opponent's mouth. And to me, I've kind of named this game the Turmoil Bowl. Because if you look at everything that the Vikings have went through last week with all the controversy about players dictating the coverage rather than the head coach. And then you have the issues of the Bears still trying to identify players, where the roster is going to fit in coming OTAs. I think there's a lot of decisions that are going to be factored in by the performance and not the outcome. Well, yeah, the outcome of the game, but your performance.
And there's no question. You always want to go out there and give it your best.
Yep.
So you really can't go out there thinking, well, we're going to have a better draft pick. You're going out there to win the game, to have a good showing. And as you mentioned, kind of go into next year with a good showing from the last three games and and then going into training camp and proving yourself again.
Well, right? Look at Cleveland last week.
Right.
You know, they have not won a game.
You see how excited they were after.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Right. It's hard to get a win in this league. On to the Vikings. When they met the Bears on Halloween of this season, they were 5-1 entering the game. Bears put a licking on them, 20-10. Jay Cutler came back, had a nice game. They sacked Sam Bradford five times, and Jordan Howard had 200 yards of offense and plus multi-purpose offense and had a big game. It was the best defensive effort of the season, and thought it might be a platform to something special for the Bears. For the Vikings, they've only won two games since.
Right, but you know, you look at Sam Bradford last week, he throws for 382 yards. They're a different monster at home because it's a very supportive crowd up in Minnesota, and I think it changes a lot what you can do offensively because you don't have the ability to communicate at the line of scrimmage. So when you talk about these players studying, you better make sure when you break the huddle, you know everything that the terminology in the huddle told you or what the changes that can be made if the defense doesn't fit accordingly. So I think it's a heck of a challenge for Matt Barkley and the Bears to make sure they have a solid understanding because it will be a loud crowd. People will show up and support this team.
And that was about the same time that they changed offensive coordinators. So obviously that has not been a good fit for Minnesota, or maybe they had some injuries, but from that time on, they've really struggled.
Yeah, I mean, Bradford's had a really good year. He's completing a high percentage of his passes. He's not thrown many interceptions, just only 17 touchdowns. Adam Thielen is somebody to watch. He had a 200-yard game at receiver. And you better block Eric Kendricks. You better deal with Daniil Hunter because they'll hurt your quarterback.
Was it in Minnesota that you are voted the number one interception of all time at the Minnesota Vikings stadium?
On Monday Night Football. The first 20 years of Monday Night Football.
Right. Jim Morrissey,
The
greatest interception in the history of Monday Night Football.
Break it down, Tom. Break it down.
I just had a lot of family members calling in. I think that's
it was a ball that was tipped going towards the Minnesota sideline. And it was, I mean, millimeters from hitting the ground. And Jim gave everything he got, dove off of his feet, was able to put his hands underneath the interception,
right on the sideline.
Before it got just an unbelievable effort in the interception he made. And I think it is one of the greatest compliments when they go through Monday Night Football and they gave Jim Morrissey the award.
That was a great honor. I really thought that was pretty cool. You know, the first 20 years of Monday Night Football. And I think it was more of a camera angle. Right there. You can see the
fingertip. Appreciate your humility, but, you know, it was a great play.
It was pretty cool.
You know, it's interesting now that I look at it, and I tell players all the time, you know, you appreciate the game that you play when you move 20, 30 years away from the game because you'll be fortunate enough in this day and age to have the tape. You guys may not have all the tape of seeing you guys play, either TV copies or actual coaches' tape. Have you ever put yourself on and say, wow, that was me? I know I lived it, but now looking afar, I move pretty quick. I thought I was pretty good.
I get a lot better every time I watch.
I'm saying. All right, who has something to prove in week 17? The obvious answer is all the 46 players that will be active that day, but we'll start with Tom. Who do you want to see?
You know, I want to see the continuous growth of Jonathan Bullard. Because, you know, Jonathan Bullard, when we saw him at training camp, he showed signs of being a great defensive lineman. He had instincts at the line of scrimmage. He had the ability to readjust towards the direction of the play. He was winning one-on-ones when it's an obvious drill, and it is a little bit more difficult to win because the offensive linemen know what you're doing every single time. But I want Jonathan Bullard to live up to what we see of him. He's got the size. He's got the athleticism. He's got the intelligence. Now, if he can come in here have a quality last game of the year. He made some nice plays last week, but he's got to do it again. And then I think I really want to see this last game catapult him into the offseason and to come in here and say, I'm going to be a starter. When we play the first regular season game, that's the mentality that he has to have right now. Part of the rotation, but he's got to be the guy when they do introductions of the defense. Jonathan Bullard's got to run out of the tunnel.
Jim?
I feel the same way about Nick. Is it Kwiatkowski?
Kwiatkowski. Yeah.
And I met the young man. Very, very nice. What John Fox has mentioned about his play, he's had some good plays. He's had some, you know, tough plays. But overall, he likes his overall performance. And I like to see him do the same thing, kind of go into next year thinking, I'm going to be the starter. I'm going to be the guy in that position. So I think it'd be a good step for him to have a nice showing this last game.
He's a gritty Boston College type linebacker. Went to West Virginia by way of Pittsburgh, so he's a Pittsburgh kid. He's a tough kid,
nice size.
Kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's
and he moves well. That one play when he sniffed out the screen and had a tremendous play there.
He'll hit
those
you.
Those are the plays,
well,
right.
You know, one thing you get the taste of starting, man, that's all you want to, right. you know, have right. for the rest right. of your career. Right. So I do think that's going to be an interesting aspect of his future is now that he's had that taste.
Right. Right.
How competitive will make him.
Which leads me to mine, and that's Matt Barkley. He got his first taste as a starting quarterback yep. now. So he ends the season as the starter. I want to see, because each start was a milepost, okay? You have to win your first game. You got to go on your road for the first time. You got to deal with extreme weather conditions for the first time. You got to deal with snow for the first time. Now you got to deal with your worst performance of the season time. So coming off a 5-interception game, I want to see what he's going to do in a very difficult place to play, and it's going to be noisy and loud in Minnesota, and how he responds, because is he going to be a factor in the quarterback decision for next season? I'd like to think so, and I'd like to see how he responds to it. I think he's gritty enough and experienced enough mentally from his time in college in a big-time program, big-time high school program, to take that step and deliver another solid performance and get the Bears a win for week 17.
I think he's shown that he belongs. I think yep. he's shown that he's done a nice job. To where, again, coming in the next year, he has a chance to make the team and perform well.
Every snap's a learning experience. All right, that's going to wrap us up. For Tom Thayer and Jim Morrissey, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Happy
thanks
New
for
Year.
Having me.
Thanks
Smells.
For watching us all season on Bears Talk. As we wrap things up here from PNC Studios, I'm sure we'll be talking to you throughout the offseason as well, but we really appreciate you joining us. Have a happy New Year, everybody. Go Bears.